You're listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On today's episode, we will be discussing traveling with teenagers.
This topic is one that's come up in our family because we're looking forward to summer in a few months. But this year in particular, because of COVID, we had to shut down some of our family travel, cancel some of our trips, you know, loosen our ideas about where we were going to go. It's been a really disappointing year because our family has always loved travel and we are always going somewhere, even if it's just for a weekend to go see family, or if it's a long trip. We love long car trips. 20 hours is no big deal in the car for our family. So
yeah.
I love family trips, but it's been a weird year and we've had a lot going on. So we haven't done as much travel, but I think we are turning a corner. How about you, Ashley? Are you guys ready to get on the road again?
Yes. Well, not necessarily on the road again, but we're just ready to get on the road for the first time. Mm-hmm. We've had so many little ones.
Little babies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tiny and two at a time, you know? And so when you've got two, you just don't go anywhere.
No.
And so everybody's old enough now. We're really looking forward to traveling. And then I've got this thought, you know, that's constantly in the back of my mind that I only have, you know, so many more years with my oldest before she's gone, you mm-hmm. know, off to college, out of the house. And so I just want to jam pack all of these trips into these next couple years.
Yes. Yes.
So we can kind of either make up for lost times or, you know.
So mm-hmm. with all this eager anticipation and how fun, what could possibly go wrong?
That's everything. Right. It's going to be wonderful.
I mean, everything. What trip have you taken that went all wrong?
Well, let me say, I've taken quite a few trips. We have visited almost every ER in the state of Texas, I believe. there's always something that goes wrong with a trip, but I would say probably one significant one. We took a huge trip. We went to Hawaii with our four kids. It was a long planned trip. We saved our money for years. This was the year that my son graduated from high school, and this was our big blowout. We're going to have one last fantastic family trip before he heads off to college because we don't know what the future will hold.
Yeah.
Well, it was very anticipated. Everybody was very excited about it. We knew we were going a year in advance. We get on the plane, and from the beginning of the trip to the end, people were fighting. Nothing went right. We got to the island we were staying on, and half of it was closed due to a mudslide, something. Whoa. It was just, you couldn't imagine this perfect trip that you had dreamt and planned for years going so terribly. So I think it can be frustrating. And we also had teenagers who sat in their rooms and wanted to look at their phones instead of being on that expensive beach that I paid to be at.
Come on.
I know. So it can be really frustrating traveling with teens when they have different ideas of what is fun.
Right. And it's easy to get just super mad at them. Mm-hmm. Like we did one of those trips and I had saved up for a long time. We actually went to France because my wife is a French major and so all this stuff. And I remember at least twice taking my son, who was now then a junior in college, aside to more than once say, dude, I don't want to be critical here, but I'm out a lot of money here. Mm-hmm. And it would help me if you would pretend to be enjoying this because you're bumming everybody out. And he wasn't even ugly about it. He was like, yeah, I'm sorry. But he really kind of, it was so frustrating. He had other things on his mind. Mm-hmm. This is the trip of a life. What do you mean other things on your mind? It's so easy mm-hmm. to just almost add to the whole thing because of your outrage that you as a teenager should be thinking about it like this. Well, mm-hmm. you know, he wasn't. So what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. So y'all are making me think expensive trips should be saved for me and my husband.
Excellent point.
I'll just take my teenagers to the state park.
That's right. Oklahoma yeah, that's exactly is right. good if you're in Texas. Yeah. One state over, plenty.
That's right.
That's right. So how do we encourage our teens to be a part of things as we're doing this trip so that they enjoy it too?
Well, and that's important because I think there are things you can do. And on the trip that I'm talking about with my family, I didn't do some of this. And so didn't really think about it. Mm-hmm. And it gets into things we've talked about before. And think about how would you treat your teenager as a participant in this trip as you would another adult on the trip? A younger adult, perhaps, someone that's not as experienced, but still not one of the kids. And I would say you start by playing that up, that certain things you have the teenager participate in that you can unapologetically exclude from the younger children. For example, planning the trip. I think it's pretty important to ask, if you possibly can, ask your teenager down, hey, we're starting working on this trip for next year. So would you help us kind of think this through? Pull up your laptop. They're always good at stuff. Can you look up that? What, how much is that? Is there cabins, whatever? Have them be your IT guy. Have her, you know, so that it's, even if it's not substantive, do you think this is good? I don't know. Okay, then look it up, you know, but be part of this with us. Mm-hmm. If they will allow it, help have them participate in the planning. Mm-hmm. But then secondly, like anything else, actually think about some of the things. This is hard to handle, as we've talked about now, if you put out a lot of money, but is it so terrible that we're going to do these things as a family? And then there's some of this part, like in the afternoons, that you as a teenager or our teenager, you guys don't have to, that's up to you. And I would do that, especially if you're at a location and you've got that eager teenager that's like, you know, he's going to go, no, I want to do it. Still say, okay, great. I'm glad you do, because you don't have to. So that, again, your children are listening. In this house, we grow up. We don't have to just get away. But give them some options so that there may be some times that they don't have to do something. That can be painful if you mm-hmm. have this strong image of, I want our family to have this kind of time. And what you end up with is just scolding this young adult to actually waiting for this bizarre moment when they go, you know, you're right. I've had the wrong attitude. I'm going to straighten up. That never happens. You end up with pictures of surly kids and you're not even smiling. You know, you can tell mm-hmm. you're over smiling, you know, that forced thing, because nobody's having a good time. It's better to think of, dude, you really don't want to do this? Okay, that's fine. Now, we did pay for this, so you're out $50. You're going to have to pay me. You know that. But you don't have to mm-hmm. go. Even if it's that, you might look for ways to give them options.
So, Dr. Kim, what about video games and social media? Do our limitations change while we're on vacation with our teenagers?
So this is an evolving answer for me mm-hmm. that I've now that I've just over the years of seeing what happens. Number one, I cannot imagine any reason to take a video game system on the road. This includes the Nintendo Switch, which is easy. You can take it with you. I don't think it's never a good idea. I just don't ever know when it is a good idea, because mm-hmm. we are going to a place where we can live life. This is out in the great outdoors. This is in this other, you know, city, things like that. So no, you're not bringing your video game, I don't think is unreasonable. Unless, of course, they're a senior, then you might try to give them that freedom. But absolutely, I don't see any reason for that. On the other hand, well, they've got all kinds of distractions on their phone. Yeah, mm-hmm. should we limit that? That gets tricky in that it is difficult if you've allowed them to kind of have free reign on their phone at home, then it is a little tough to suddenly put your foot down on a trip. The better option is to put your foot down occasionally at home. You should be trying, especially starting in early adolescence, all of our devices, including yours, goes on the charger at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock and, you know, or whatever. Nope, you don't even have your phone at the table. Well, dad has his phone. Dad used to have his phone. Now he does not. We all put our screens away so that you're used to not so much limiting, you know, you can't be on Snapchat. You can't be on your phone. I don't care what you're doing. There's no phone. So that if you do that, then yeah, you could theoretically take up everybody's phone when we're going off on doing this thing. But that I think is somewhat reasonable. But if you're not doing any of that at home, then that's pretty tricky. So you might end up with kids on their phones a bunch. That is annoying, but you'd try to be careful about what's the most effective, and actually taking them aside and talking to them about it may be helpful. But those things are tough, man. It's like just a tiny drug going on all the time. We've got a long drive and they're just absorbed in their phone. So I would try to think in advance of what's the best way to effectively do that. And in that case, it's less about you can't do this or that thing on your phone. It's usually more about in these circumstances, you can't have the phone.
There are also places in the world that have no cell coverage. And I would highly recommend.
No, there isn't.
Yes. What? Go to those places only.
Yes. Yeah.
Go to those places.
That's great.
Sometimes when we go to Colorado or to New Mexico, there is no cell coverage. And my kids are like, oh, I don't know what to do. I guess I'll read a book.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Where's my video game system? No, we're not doing that. But you know, it's also a good idea to think about for older teenagers. It is possible on some trips, you might make the better choice of, you don't need to go. I can tell you don't want to do this. Now, again, there's obviously a significant number of trips that it's perfectly reasonable. This is our family. You're part of our family. You need to go. But you balance that with, okay, I'm going to get his carcass to go, but his soul is going to never be here. Is this even worth it? So offering them an option to stay with, you know, Aunt so-and-so, you know, they don't choose necessarily where they can stay with, but you either go with us or you can stay there. Sometimes is a good idea. And the other sometimes good idea, if you can do it, is to let them bring a friend. Again, that can help them to just enjoy it. You know, a lot of times, this is very true for teenagers, they will act so much more immature in the family without a witness. But as soon as a reasonable friend of theirs walks in the room, they're not going to be crying and melting down like they did in front of, they may, you know, kind of huddle together and both of them sarcastically think you're an idiot, but I'd take that over, you know, he touched me, don't touch me. It's just, come on, you're 14, grow up. So sometimes bringing a friend is a good idea. Oh, never. This seems weird. I have to say this. Never bring a boyfriend and girlfriend ever. They've been going together. I don't care. Familiarity breeds bad stuff. I just never see that as a good idea. You know, you don't want to, you take spouses on trips with you. You don't boyfriend and girlfriend. That seems weird. Most people know that, but man, sometimes we just think he's the cutest and we want him to come with us. And they're really kind of like friends. He's a boy. Don't bring, want her to have freedom to break up with him when when she's done, you know, whatever. I don't think that's ever a good idea. And I think most people know that, but bringing a friend can help.
That's good. So let's talk about the benefits of traveling. What kind of impact does this have on our kids? What is the payoff here?
Well, so there's different ones. For example, some of our teenagers really do well. They're even a little bit kind to their siblings on a trip. It's stunning. We get away from everything. You know, even after we get past the first 2 hours of this is dumb, I don't want to do this. And she kind of just came to herself and she was with us and we enjoyed ourselves. And that's good. That's a really good thing. So that's one way to do it. Having them participate in this stuff. If they're new driving, will you drive part of the way? You know, kind of having all that can help do that and traveling together. I'll tell you this, a really big one is to think about travel is also can be an important part of development. So taking your kids, and I want to be clear, children, it's really good to, for example, if you can go to Washington, D.C., those are good educational trips. And I think that's really helpful. Teenagers can often participate. Sometimes they can smell education from a mile away and they don't like it. So it's not as much. One thing that I think is very important for parents to think about for children ages 12 to about 17, for your kids, teenagers, if you can possibly go to a different country with this teenager, it is a huge eye opener. It can change their worldview. That's super important. A lot of families that I work with are doing mission trips with their churches, which I think is a really good thing. If you talk to the missionaries at the location, to be honest, sometimes they're a little burdened, like, oh, I got this 2-week group. What can I do with a 2-week group? So it's as much for us as for them. But I think it can be hugely helpful for teenagers to see another world, to see other countries. That does not always have to be global South poor countries. But it definitely needs to not be an all-inclusive package where you have this encapsulated, comfortable experience in these great hotels where you really don't see the place you are. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you a couple examples. We have family that lived in Africa, and they were in Zimbabwe, and we spent one Christmas with them, and it changed our son's life. He was at the time, I think, 14. He went back to see them when he was 16 on his own, and he's never been the same. That participation in African culture, he ended up spending 6 months in Malawi on his own with a family doing work with an NGO. And it was just huge. Mm-hmm. The disastrous France trip that my son, his youngest sister, our littlest was, I think, 10 or 11. And we went to, among other things, a cathedral in France. Well, she's now a doctoral student in medieval history. It changed her whole worldview in mm-hmm. being part of another culture. So I think if you can possibly do that, even going to Canada, going to Mexico, not Cancun, but, mm-hmm. but being a part of other cultures on the ground for during, like I say, roughly 12 to 17 can be really transformative for a lot of, especially Americans. We're, I hate to say this, pretty insulated. And we mm-hmm. think the whole world is just a big America. You know, they say mm-hmm. if you speak three languages, you're trilingual. And if you speak two languages, you're bilingual. And if you speak one language, you're an American. It's, mm-hmm. it's helpful, especially for America. I know we have a fair number of listeners that are in other countries. They're nodding their heads like, yes, try mm-hmm. not to be such a loud, jerky American wherever you go. So mm-hmm. being a part of the culture where you go visit is huge for at these ages can be hugely important. And it's often an underappreciated role of travel.
Mm-hmm. And those experiences that you build with your kids. And actually often when you're traveling, there's some sort of a vulnerability of, we don't know how to do this. Yes. Or, you know, you weather these situations that might be a little sketchy at first, you know, yes. and you figure it out as a group, and you end up having funny stories and things that you share with your kids that
that's right.
you would never have in your comfort zone, you know? So
maybe what we're saying in a way, what I'm saying is that most of us think about traveling with our children we think of it as, what does it do to our relationships as a family, our bonding, all that, which is good. But with teenagers, I would encourage you to also open up the other side of it, which is travel that helps them to prepare for their own life and their own family, not just about your family. And that's mm-hmm. where, you know, some of the other options can open up.
Well, this has been a fun episode, and I am definitely looking forward to more travel this year. I hope that this has helped our listeners to think about and plan for some travel for their own families.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.